eventually you move on from ORIU. You had graduate school of banking. What's going on next?
Right in the midst of my banking, you know, there's always been this entrepreneurial bent in my life, but I don't think I called it that at the time. It's just something I picked up growing up in Glen Allen, that if you can own your own business, that's the thing to do. So Stairmaster came along, and I became involved, and our company has secured the government rights to Stairmaster all over the world.
Your company?
Yeah.
You had established a company?
Yeah. I brokered a deal that I probably should not have brokered, but I brokered a deal that a business was sold to a guy, and I got a percent of that sale. And I was so afraid that I asked my lawyer to go pick up the check. To be quite honest with you, because that was not something that black guys were doing every day. And I said, I can do this. But then when I got it down to the very last point, I said, what if I get there and all of a sudden it ain't working? And I asked my attorney to go, who was a young white guy. He said, I'll go.
So race played a part in that?
In my thinking.
Yes.
Yes, in my thinking, yeah.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Yeah.
What year are we talking about?
Probably 78, 79, or something like
that. Okay. I came out of Minnesota, North Dakota, Omaha, Nebraska to here. Would you agree that this is probably where the South begins in Oklahoma?
I don't think I would say it's where the South begins, because Oklahoma is relatively strange with so many different people from so many parts of the country. It is definitely Southern, but Tulsa is also Eastern as well when you consider the white founders of Tulsa. Especially those in the oil industry, many of them were from Philadelphia. You have the Native Americans, who many of them came from southern states here.
Yep.
And the blacks that migrated here, they would have come, many of them from southern states, but there were so many from New York as well. And because it was a territory for so long, where people did right things, in spite of all the other things that was going on, I don't know what to call it. I call it an experience state. I don't know.
I think there's some attitudes in Tulsa that are of the South. I interviewed a lady, Marina Medavalis. She's connected to TCC, Tulsa Community College. She talks about living in Wichita. She'd be coming down here to visit family. And when the train crossed the border from Kansas to Oklahoma, they changed the signs in the restroom to whites only. That kind of fed into my thinking that attitudes of the South are beginning here in Oklahoma.
I know prior to 1907, it was two territories, and things were a lot different. But in 1907, I know that they embraced legal segregation.
Yes, we had a segregated constitution.
Yeah.
Right, very much so. Talk to me a little bit more of your life as a businessman, because you've gone on to other things. You're president and CEO of the Fremont Corporation. What does that do?
You know, to talk about my life as a businessman, I have to take you back to Glen Allen for half a second, to Uncle Cleve. That's my uncle who owned the Ice House, the only business in Glen Allen that served whites, blacks, Chinese, Jews, and whomever. And that was the only Ice House there. And I had an opportunity to work for him after I left the grocery store. That was a great mental change for me. Working at the grocery store got me out of the fields and got me inside. Working for my uncle got my mind out of the fields, because now I'm seeing a man who looked like me, who owns his own business and is serving the entire community. And as a boy, a young man, I should say, working for him, I had to pick up his habits. I mean, he had a code of conduct that if you broke it, you're out of there. He had great respect throughout the community, a great sense of decorum. Everything about him I admired. And I think that is what really propelled me into the opportunities of thinking that I could do likewise.
Seed for business was planted right there.
Right there.
So then bring you back to Fremont Corporation. What is it doing?
Well, you remember when I was afraid to pick up the check?
Yep.
I got the check. The first thing I did when I got the check, after telling my wife, I said, okay, let's establish a company. What you going to do? I don't know. But I knew if I don't start somewhere, I'll probably never do it.
I thought you had a company going as you had Stairmaster.
Well, Stairmaster was a company, but Stairmaster happened after the check. I haven't got the timing, but we talked about Stairmaster earlier. The Fremont Corporation was the company that enveloped Stairmaster. But Fremont was established after that first initial sale that I made. I established Fremont.
The sale of Stairmaster.
No, that land sale. Remember we talked about a business that I helped to broker that business?
Yes.
The money I got from that, I was afraid, so I sent my lawyer to pick up that check.
Okay, and that was sizable enough for you to say, I can invest this in a business.
Right. And the first thing I did was to incorporate, to get a name. And that's where the name Fremont came from. Fremont was a plantation that my mother's great-grandfather owned in the Mississippi Delta.
Well, that says a lot, doesn't it?
So I got my business cards and all of that.
Is Fremont Corporation many businesses operating under that umbrella?
No, it's basically a marketing and consulting company. The work that I do around the country, the phone calls that I've recently had since we've been here, that all come under the auspices of Fremont. That's the workshop, that's the facilitating, that's the strategic planning that I help companies do. All of that comes under Fremont. When I travel to Australia to lecture at the Charles Stewart University and work with the Aboriginals there, that's all under Fremont.
Okay. This is out of context, but